Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstruck. Yeah, Thunderstruck.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, gogginkold.com, 615-844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 844-5600. The NFL week gets underway again tomorrow night. Starting with a Cleveland-Pittsburgh matchup, especially important game for Pittsburgh. Look, there's still two games behind Baltimore. Now, Baltimore, by the way, very intriguing game for them coming up this weekend as they play host to the Houston Texans. And so think about the extra pressure on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. If all of a sudden here's Pittsburgh, a team that we had just totally dismissed 4 games ago when they were 1-4, if they beat Cleveland tomorrow night, 5-game winning streak, they're 6-4, and all of a sudden, if Houston goes into Baltimore on Sunday and wins, the Ravens would then have only a game lead over Pittsburgh, and this would be despite the fact that Baltimore, going into their contest against Houston on Sunday, have won 5 straight. So some really intriguing things that could happen as far as the standings and all these division races. Now we're getting down to the stretch run. Some teams have 7, and a case like the Tennessee Titans, they have only 6 games remaining. And think about, too, the impact as far as the AFC South is concerned. Right now, there's Houston. They've got the game edge over Indianapolis. Here's Houston, a 4-point underdog, on Sunday going into Baltimore. You would think that Baltimore should win the game, right?
Right.
It's not a given. And here's a Houston team that also has 1-2 straight. So both Houston and Baltimore with mild winning streaks, especially Houston, Baltimore, and that's actually one of the better winning streaks out there. And then you look at how that could impact the AFC South. Let's just say for argument's sake, they lose. So they're 6-4. Indianapolis, then once again, they host Jacksonville. What if Nick Foles and Jacksonville, they go in and upset Indianapolis. So that means then, after all the smoke is cleared, and if things play out, say Houston is 6-4, Indianapolis would be 5-5, the Tennessee Titans 5-5, Jacksonville 5-5 with 6 games to go.
Mm.
So you have 3 teams all tied with second. This is where we are right now. And you go, oh, that's crazy talk right there. That's not going to happen. Who says? Who says Jacksonville and Nick Foles can't go? Because right now, Indianapolis, looking at this matchup, they're only a 3-point favorite at home against Jacksonville on Sunday. So we literally could have 1 game separating first and last as far as the AFC South.
And I feel like if Bursett doesn't play, which I believe he will, then you never know what could happen, because Brian Hoyer sure didn't look very good the other day.
Now, here's the thing. Right now, from a division, tiebreaker situation, Tennessee Titans are in the worst possible shape of the 4 teams. They're winless against division foes. Houston 2-1, Indianapolis 2-0, Jacksonville 1-2. Now, that would change, obviously, slightly if Jacksonville could win and Indianapolis loses, but still the Titans, they have 4 games to go against division foes. They've got to improve that, because it really literally could come down to tiebreakers.
Right.
And right now, the Titans are last from a division standpoint. They're last as far as tiebreakers from a conference standpoint, because Houston leading the way with a 5-1 conference record. That's record against AFC opponents. Second on that list would actually be Jacksonville at 4-3. Indianapolis is 4-4, and then you got the Titans at 3-4.
Mm.
So you just got to – it's really going to come down to what the Titans do in their four contests against division opponents. But they also have to find ways to, you know, it could also be a situation where Oakland could come into play. If it's a tiebreaker between Oakland and the Titans, they play head-to-head coming up the month of December.
I mean, it's almost to the point now, even with the Titans playing, you know, coming off this win, you're looking at a team that's going to have to either go 11-5 or 10-6.
The bottom line is, if you want to get to the playoffs, this is what playoff teams do. They take care of business. You know, they win the tough games. They find a way to get it done. I mean, we look back at Monday night and that battle between Seattle and San Francisco. Seattle, a six-point underdog, going into San Francisco, an unbeaten San Francisco team, a pumped-up San Francisco fan base. And what did Seattle do? They just kept fighting and fighting, kept coming and coming, and made the big plays, took advantage of mistakes made by the 49ers, created some of the mistakes themselves, and found a way to win in overtime. And now you've got a Seattle Seahawks team that all of a sudden, right there on the heels of the 49ers, only a game back with their, you know, Seattle's three-game winning streak. So, look, great win against Kansas City on Sunday, and now you're back at 5-5, but six games to go. You know, this is what, you know, New York wants. This is what the NFL wants. They want all these teams battling it out. Because you look on the AFC side, the only teams that – how about this? Even the Dolphins, remember that Dolphins team that, you know, we were joking about at 0-7? You realize the Dolphins now, with seven games to go, are only three games out of a playoff spot. That's right. The winless Dolphins at 0-7, now with two straight wins, they're literally only three games out of a playoff spot.
You mean the team that everybody thought was going to tank for Tua?
Yeah. That it would be that team right there. So if you're not Cincinnati or Miami or the Jets, everything else, and probably Denver. I'm not going to give Denver any credit either. So as long as you're the other 12, you're still fighting it out. You have a chance to be one of the playoff teams.
Yeah, and it's clear as mud right now in the AFC. Definitely.
All right, CT in Nashville. Welcome to the show. Hello. Welcome.
Man, you think Vandy wins a SEC game this year?
Yes.
I've watched them past two games. You got to win one.
Yeah, they'll win one. Oh, well, that's now that's a different story altogether. It's not, the thing that we saw like last night with Evansville going in and beating Kentucky in college basketball. Look at how many near misses we had last year. And Vanderbilt will be in games like that with 5 minutes to go. And last year the biggest problem was, and the reason why. Anybody who knows anything about basketball understands why Bryce Drew was let go. Can't just clap your hands and expect teams to finish the deal with 3 minutes to go when you're in these ball games. It's all about coaching. And because of that, Vanderbilt will find itself in the position to find ways. I know last night's a win. It wasn't pretty. I get that. But they will find their way. That's what this non-conference portion of the schedule, it builds confidence. It will build also the fact being able to play together. And there'll be some moments there where they have opportunities. Now, are they going to beat Kentucky? I wouldn't think so. But, you know, you think about one of the mid-level SEC teams, or you go, say, from teams, you know, 8 to 12 or somewhere in that range, they'll find a way to – I'm going to say more than just one. They're not going to go winless in conference play. They're going to be able to win two or three games.
I just don't think they have any talent down low.
All right, that's a problem. You know, you can work yourself in – and this is where you hope that, all these games will give you more and more experience. But, you know, that the strength certainly is not down low. I get that.
I tell you what, UT's beating up on them on the recruiting trail, man.
Well, just, it's too early. It's still early in the process. So I don't know how this is going to work out. I really don't. You know, when I look at that situation, and it's not what you would go what's the best way to call this? It's thinking outside and trying to make it work, trying to be different. And I'm not going to say it works, but I at least reward the effort for trying to think. Just like, you know, we talk about, you know, Vanderbilt football. You're not going to beat and be successful in the SEC on a yearly basis if you're trying to do what Alabama or Georgia, Florida, and LSU are doing on a weekly basis. You got to be different. And so with that said, you know, I don't know how this plays out in the end. I can't predict in 3 years to 5 years how this plays out because it's something that's not the norm. But I know there's some basketball knowledge as part of that staff is concerned. And let's just, you know, be patient and see how this plays out.
All right, man. Take it easy. Love the show.
I appreciate it. You know, the bottom line, too, Jay, to his point, you know, this is really one of those true situations where in basketball, you know, it's not like where, you know, in football, you've got a, you know, so many guys and it becomes a depth issue.
Right.
You know, when you take over Vanderbilt, what was one of the first things we were talking to Derek Mason about? It wasn't, can you fill, you know, a starting 11 on both sides of the ball? You know, and the brutal part of competition in the SEC, you're going to have injuries and you got to be able to go in cases three deep. I mean, we look at an Alabama team, for example, in football, that they have started more freshmen than any other program in the country. 130 football programs in Alabama, right there in the thick of things, still at number five with a chance to make the college football playoff. No team has started more freshmen than Alabama, and mainly because early on, and you saw it impacted as far as the linebacker core, losing your quarterback on defense and Dylan Moses at linebacker, then bam, right next to his partner right next to him goes down with a season-ending injury. So you start having injuries like that. But in men's basketball, you know, you can quickly go from being mediocre to all of a sudden one of the best of the best in, you know, a year or two.
Right.
I mean, that's how quickly you can change everything from a recruiting standpoint and turn everything around. So we'll see. I mean, if he has success, people are going to be paying attention.
Yeah. And, I mean, people are still talking now. I mean, you know, like the win against SEMO, the win against, you know, Texas A&M and Corpus Christi, everybody's thinking, well, they're supposed to beat those teams. Let's see what happens when they play Richmond. It doesn't matter right now. Right now they're just trying to win and get to know each other, because half these guys that are playing, like Dylan Dessou, Scottie Pippen Jr., and all them, they weren't here last year, so they don't know what it's like. But now that Neesmith is kind of starting to show up a little bit, you know, Abena is back in the post, you know, he'll help, but they're still got a lot of different – there's still different layers of this team that needs fixing, and hopefully Coach Stackhouse can do that.
Well, the other part about it, too, you may not have been able to watch Jerry Stackhouse play. You may not have watched, you know, Scottie Pippen play. But you know Scottie Pippen is a Hall of Famer,
yes,
right? And so when you think about it from those terms, and the fact that you have that in the house, in that building, it just adds more to it. And that can help separate, especially when you think about it with regards to from a recruiting standpoint.
Right.
And when you've got a head coach that has NBA playing experience, and, I mean, you know, if you're a recruit, you want to get – I mean, first of all, when you think about Vanderbilt, you can offer something that the other 13 schools in the SEC – the education means something. I mean, that's got some primo value on it with regards to even if you only play 1 year or 2 years and then you go to the NBA with your talents – you're still going to have to be able to manage your money. You're not going to be able to trust it just to anybody. You want to have some knowledge on how all that works. So you're going to get that basic knowledge there with regards to things like that. At the same time, you're also getting coached up by somebody who actually played in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, that matters.
I mean, it's there's a lot of different, you know.
How many coach? I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, the other 13 coaches in the SEC, how many actually played in the NBA? I can't give you the answer because off the top of my head, I don't even maybe one more, maybe two,
I couldn't,
because Avery Johnson is no longer at you know, Alabama, so right. You delete that name off of there. So maybe there might not be another one off the top of my head because I haven't done the research. Just thinking about it right now, but the point is, it helps separate you with regards from a recruiting standpoint when you're in that living room, when you're stressing. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, first of all, I'm going to make sure your son, as long as he's in school at Vanderbilt, he's going to get a quality education. We're going to make sure we stress class, education, study hall, all of those things. Secondly, you know, we're going to take him and take his talents as a basketball player and make him the best possible young man we possibly can, and to represent us, whether it's 1 year or 2 years or 4 years, whatever the case may be, and send him out there representing you well, his family well, and the university well. And that's your sales point. And those are things that you're not making anything up. You're not like, you know, twisting stories or whatever to make it sound good. These are actually things you can back up. I mean, because, you know, and look, you know, if you're being recruited heavily like that, you're going to be hearing all kinds of stories out there, which are probably little tall tales.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, this, you know, you always got that Uncle Joe or whatever always making up stuff. Sure. It's like, hey, Grandma, Uncle Joe said he did this growing up.
Psh. Yeah, whatever.
After a drink or two, you can't believe a word you hear out of his mouth. 615-844-5600.
Speaking of Uncle
speaking
Joe.
Speaking of Uncle Joe, by the way, Joe, I didn't know that you were on next, so I'm not talking about Uncle Joe in this case, but Joe from Bellevue, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. And I'm with you on all the NBA experience and the Vandy program. I'm a Vandy grad and a Vandy fan, but to play devil's advocate.
Ah, there's the but there. That means everything I said before that, just throw it out the window. But go ahead.
No, that is all true. But with respect to all the NBA stuff in the house, there's another NBA player who coached who you can't necessarily say the same things about because Bryce Drew played in the NBA.
Yeah, but so, all right, there's a difference between Jerry Stackhouse playing in the NBA and Bryce Drew playing in the NBA.
And there's a difference, too, with Jerry Stackhouse also coaching NBA-level players.
Exactly.
And assistant coaching. And so, yeah. I have a question that's not sports-related exactly, and it's a weird question. How come the pause difference in the stop what you're doing and listen is different on the preview at the opening of the show and the others? Weird question. It's a lot shorter right when the show opens. I'm not sure why.
I have no idea.
No, anyway, but that is a valid question. I don't want an answer. But I'm a little bit worried if I switch over to baseball. I know it's not baseball season, but I did watch,
but if it makes you feel warmer when it's cold like this and knowing baseball, you start playing in warmer weather, I'm okay with those thoughts right now.
And I also know that has been one of our more successful programs
right.
on the main show. That doesn't make me feel better. But what doesn't make me feel better is the lack of Austin Martin on Sunday at the David Williams Fall Classic, which I thought was phenomenal, by the way. And I didn't care who won. I think some of our young players got a chance. And I have a question whether he's injured. And I know, again, they're trying to play at the youngsters. But he didn't play in any other games either. So, and I saw something on the internet that said Austin Martin surgery. So, a little worried that our highly touted player might be. Have you heard anything, or do you know anything?
I haven't heard, but a lot of times coaches and no matter what sports you're talking about, especially when you talk about the major sports, it's not like they like to throw that information out there. And Look, I wouldn't put too much emphasis into it right now. I think if it was something more severe, then it could be something just as minor as clearing, cleaning up something. You see and read about that and hear about that all the time.
And I have one more thing, and it hit me when I was listening about 2 weeks ago, and it's with respect to the Vanderbilt football program, and we talked about coaching, and it's hard to get a coach there, and it dawned on me there are probably 15, maybe 20. Programs in the country that are destination programs roughly. And so anything else, you're going from there to one of those 15 or 20. And so that's where Vanderbilt is. And I don't know why it is. I think it's some of these schools have been playing football for so long and they were so successful. They have, they have traditions and things like that. You look at Ohio State dot in the eye and all that stuff. You look at Notre Dame and the touchdown Jesus and everything else. All these schools, Alabama, have such tradition. And everybody, and we saw this with the AAF this last year. Everybody wants everything to be successful right now, and they want tradition right now. So there's really no time to do that anymore. So if you're not one of those 15 or so programs, you're kind of in the dark.
I don't buy into that because that to me is a quitter's mentality. Just like we talked about with Scott Frost, and we don't know if Nebraska can be turned around with Scott Frost or not. But if you have the attitude, we'll never be relevant as far as in conference play or on the national landscape again as far as college football. Well, if you have that attitude, you won't. But you go back to early part of last decade, Vanderbilt baseball. I mean, yeah, they had some success like with Larry Schmidt in the 70s. But as far as the kind of success we're talking about now, it wasn't there when Tim Corbin took that job. If you really work hard and you pull all these things together and not allow excuses to stop you from getting and obtaining your goals, just like we talk about men's basketball. I know what men's basketball was like as a successful program on that campus at Vanderbilt. It was in my lifetime, and it was, we're talking about in the 80s when I, it was, you had the, you know, top teams in the country coming in and walking away with losses. And as far as Vanderbilt football, you know, there's, you know, here they are playing, you know, play by play with Notre Dame in the 90s, right, on that field. Had the lead there in the second half, only lose by one score. It's possible, but it's not if you go, oh, we'll never be good enough to compete in that. I mean, there's a lot of programs that, you know, ignore that, and all of a sudden they keep working hard and getting everybody involved, giving the fans a reason to support the program, not just Vanderbilt grads. There's a lot of sports fans in this area that if you have an entertaining product out there, they will show up.
I guess it comes to finding the right coach with the right character and the right drive. Because I guess you're right. Because Tim Corbin was offered a whole lot of money by Auburn, LSU, and a lot of other schools, and he had the character to say, you know, I need to man up. I talked these people out of seven-figure salaries to come play with me. I need to man up and coach them. And so I think we see that too seldom in sports at all levels, but especially college. So anyway,
hey, appreciate your phone call, Joe. Thank you so much. I mean, look, it's a, you know, Vanderbilt, not just from an athletic administration standpoint, it's from the university as a whole, it's from the alumni, it's also going out shaking hands and getting folks to show up. I look at it, like here we are, basketball, Tennessee State last night, 10,000 plus arena, right, as they take on Lipscomb, and what had the men's basketball program been doing, the coaching staff going in, you know, having, you know, sit-downs as far as during lunch, getting everybody involved, making sure the students show up. These are the little things that you have to do to get everybody involved. If you're Vanderbilt with regards to football, trying to fill the stadium up, look, it's, you have to give folks a reason why they should leave their living room seats and come out, get, you know, parked, come and watch a ball game. You have to reach out, you know, the personal invitations. There's enough businesses out here that can buy tickets for their families. Look, people, you know, money is hard to come by when there's so many things out there. And if you can find ways to get a family of four tickets in somebody's hand, then, and when they get there, they have a free hot dog for each person and a Coke, all can come in with packages. You can sell those packages to these corporations. So it's like, hey, Jay, you've been a hard worker this week on a Wednesday. How about you take your family to the game? Here's a family four-pack of tickets. Here's some hot dogs. Here's some beverages for you. Enjoy yourself on Saturday.
Heck,
that's
yeah.
How you get it done. That's how you get it done. They don't have to be Vanderbilt grads. They're sports fans. They're sports fans all over the place.
Exactly.
You have to go out and work it. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It just doesn't happen just by saying, well, the doors are open. The game kicks off at 1 o'clock. Show up. Doesn't work that way anymore.
Nope.
There's too many folks competing for those dollars. All right, we're way behind. Coming up on the other side, a chance to talk some Tennessee Vols and SEC as well. Will West, co-host over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. He joins us next. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Still heavy traffic out here trying to get off the South Loop, the West Loop. Just scrambling trying to get out of downtown. You got CMAs tonight. A lot of extra traffic up and down Lower Broadway right now. Demumbrium and 12, that's a crash right at that intersection. Heavy, but moving on. 40 East here, approaching 840. You got all that traffic now through Wilson County back out towards Lebanon. Smashville Moving Company is Middle Tennessee's new moving company. Check them out. Get to know them. SmashvilleMovingCompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed. between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple: incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. For this afternoon, sunshine with a high 45. Tonight's going to be mostly clear with the low dipping down to 29. For Thursday, mostly sunny with a high 51. And for Friday, more sun, high 48. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Going back to the hotline, a chance to talk with Will West, a little SEC, Tennessee Vols, and more. He's a co-host over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. Will, as always, we appreciate you, buddy, and welcome back. Hello, Will. Going once. Hello, Will. All right, let's see if Jay, if we can get him back on. So, having little issues there with our connection with Will. By the way, while we wait to get him back on, just looking at some of the landscape as far as the early kickoffs on this Saturday as far as SEC. Once again, all you got 12 of the 14 teams playing. All of the six games are conference contest. Arkansas, UT, the only two teams off, but starting with Alabama at Mississippi State at 11 a.m. and Florida at Missouri. And we're rejoining now Will West over in Knoxville. Welcome back, Will.
Hey, thanks for having me, Johnny. I appreciate it, man.
I was getting ready to say, I thought that was one of our shortest visits ever. All right, so what's the enthusiasm, the optimism? What are folks thinking about Tennessee right now? And, you know, you could play devil's advocate and go, okay, yeah, they went into Lexington, got a win against Kentucky with a team that doesn't have a quarterback. Or you can look at it the fact that after the 1-4 start, you know, here's Tennessee now, one win away from being bowl eligible.
And I would look at it that way. I would also say once you put Jared Garantano in, you were clearly the better team. And I don't think that, I don't know how they're going to handle the quarterback situation moving forward after this week. Right now, I think most people are cautiously optimistic. I think it's 7-5 seasons on the table. And if you finish the season 7-5 after starting 1-4 like they did, especially with those two losses at the beginning of the season, I think that people will head into next year feeling like, okay, Tennessee's on the right track. And next season, maybe you can take another step to try to knock off one of the big boys. Can you, maybe not Georgia or Alabama, but can you hang with Florida? Can you maybe even beat Florida here in Knoxville next year? That, I think, is where Tennessee fans are right now. If they lose to Missouri, you know, I think not great, but not the end of the world. The key is Tennessee getting to a bowl game after that 1-4 start, and especially losing to Georgia State and BYU. And I think most fans are going to be happy.
Well, and it looks like right now, if the way, I mean, look, A&M could certainly change this if they all of a sudden win two out of their last three, but it looks like A&M, I can give them a win, you know, as far as this week at home against South Carolina. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia and LSU. So you would see a Tennessee team taking care of business, beating Missouri Vanderbilt, an A&M team finishing 7-5, and because A&M played in the Gator Bowl last year, The fact that, you know, if I'm trying to sell the team finish strong, unlike last year against Missouri Vanderbilt, I'm selling them a New Year's Day game in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and let's be real. For the Gator Bowl, they want to sell tickets at the end of the day. Does A&M want to go back there twice in a row? I mean, is that going to fill? Is that something that they can sell to their fan base? Tennessee fans will buy every ticket that's available for that game in Jacksonville, especially with the way that the season started. Now, I will throw in this caveat. If they lose to Vanderbilt, it's all out the window. Everything is. And Jeremy Pruitt enters year three on a scorching on fire seat. So they would need to at least handle their business against Vanderbilt one way or the other. And I really do think it's that. If you lose to Missouri, and as long as you beat Vanderbilt and head into bowl, you know, are bowl eligible at 6-6, from there, I think Tennessee fans will say, okay, that's, if you don't screw up at the beginning of the season, it's going to feel like an 8-4 season around here, even though it's 6-6. If you go 7-5 at the end of the season, Tennessee fans will feel great about it. But if he loses that game to Vanderbilt, people will rip the paint off of the walls at Neyland Stadium.
Well, and rightfully so, because if you're talking about knowing where Vanderbilt is right now, knowing the situation Tennessee finds itself in, if you finish the year 6-6, and oh, by the way, four consecutive losses to Vanderbilt, how are you expecting to compete against Georgia and Florida when you can't beat Vanderbilt in the SEC East? And this is being said from the attitude as a Tennessee Vols fan, per se.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. And that's where Tennessee fans are. I mean, so you have to win that game, especially 3 in a row, 5 of 7. You know, we all know the numbers there. That has to stay there. But if you handle your business against Vanderbilt and beat that team, then right now Tennessee's doing something they didn't do a lot under Butch, which is they're beating teams they have better talent than. And they're just winning the me versus you battles all over the field to go beat teams that they're better than. And I do think the quarterback play has helped. The quarterback situation is going to be really interesting, Johnny, because what do you do? I mean, Jared Garantano was so bad for a while and such a liability. You had to put Brian Maurer in with virtually a high school level RPO because that's what he could handle as far as an offensive system. But we saw against Kentucky had that snuffed out. I mean, and you're not going to run that against Missouri. You're not going to run that against Derek Mason. Those are good defensive coaches that are there. So do you continue to let Jared Garantano come in relief the way that you've done that? And if you do that, at some point, Tom, it's going to burn you, right? Because you can't just give away a quarter or two before you decide, I'm going to go to the guy that gives me the best chance to win football games, especially when Juwan Jennings has gone to Jeremy Pruitt and said, Garantano is the guy that needs to start. He gives us the best chance to win football games. Jeremy Pruitt's told the media, Jared Garantano gives us the best chance to win football games. So right now, most people under the work to beat day in, day out, think it will be Brian Maurer again against Missouri. And we'll see how that pays. Right now, everyone's been a good trooper about this and a good soldier about this. We'll see if that continues, if they continue to start Brian Maurer.
Who's making this decision? Is it one of these things where it's being, this is what we like to do, and Jeremy Pruitt saying, okay. It's almost like they're giving Brian Maurer every opportunity to win this job because they don't want Garantano in that position.
Well, and I think that maybe they don't want him to get too comfortable. Does that make sense? Jared Garantano, they like the fact that when he's a little more motivated, he seems to get the ball out of his hands a little more quickly and make fewer mistakes. And that's one thing I think that is his Achilles heel with Garantano. He just holds the ball so long. From what I've been told by other quarterbacks watching him, I work with two, and they both said he's just a slow reader. And there are some understanding things that he doesn't quite have, but the biggest thing is it takes him a while to read. Well, he seems to speed his clock up when he knows his job is on the lines. And so I do think some portion of it's that. But let me just throw a scenario out for you. If you're playing Missouri and you decide to start Brian Maurer and Kelly Bryant's back out there, and you fall down 17-3 or 17-7 to Missouri, Garantano comes back, you pull a comeback, but you don't quite win the game.
Right.
What is that culture going to be like in that locker room when Juwan Jennings told the national media last week, told ESPN last week, SEC Network last week, that this guy gives us the best chance to win the football game, and that he went to the coach and said he gives us the best chance to win the football game. When the coaches told him, the local and national media, this guy gives us the best chance to win the football game, and you chose not to start him. So it is Pruitt making the decision. So we'll see how it goes at the end of the day.
Well, and look, Nick Saban talked about this last year when trying to make the decision and not telling anybody whether it was going to be Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa as the starting QB in week one against Louisville. And the bottom line is one of the things he talks about in that, you know, determination is the locker room, and the locker room determines that. You can look at the locker room and see how they respond to Brian Maurer or how they respond to Jared Garantano. And if the locker room is telling you Garantano and you're continuing to go to Brian Maurer, and if he continues, if he puts you in a hole, per se, and he cost you that trip to the Gator Bowl, then there's some coaches going to have to be answering some tough questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you continue to play this game, or do you just go ahead and get Jared Garantano ready? Because he's the best quarterback that you have, and he's the guy that gives you the best chance to win. And you cannot keep going out there with an RPO that half the high school teams in this town can defend, right? So you just can't do that. So many teams run RPO, and the coaches run RPO well, that having such a low-level kind of RPO and base RPO is just – I just don't see how that's a winning formula the next couple of weeks against Barry Odom and against Derek Mason. So – to me, I just don't understand the idea of not going Garantano, but most people think they're going to do the same thing and make Garantano come off of the bench just so he stays a little bit more motivated and there's a fire under his backside.
Having a chance once again to talk a little football with Will West. Last night we got the second poll from the College Football Playoff Committee. And, you know, everybody at this point, you know, you see a lot of folks still wanting 6 or 8 playoff teams. Look, how about the fact that right now, going into mid-November, we've got 11 teams, count them, 11 teams, and only one of the 11 not really playing anybody that's a part of that 11. We got 3 SEC teams still alive, 3 Big Ten, 2 Pac-12, 2 Big 12, and Clemson in the ACC. And all these, a lot of these games will be playing each other. They're going to be measured against each other. The only two that don't is Clemson and Alabama, but even Alabama, knowing that contest against Auburn, and you know Oregon's going to be paying attention to that, and also that committee will be paying attention to that. I think we got exactly what we want. I mean, I can't recall over the 5 previous years this many teams this late in the season. I mean, I think 2 years ago we had 7, and it came out to like somewhat of a semi-playoff thing anyway in the month of November. We've got 11 teams going into this weekend with still national championship aspirations.
Yeah, I think that the biggest issue is the lack of consistency with the explanation that you're getting for why teams are ranked where with the College Football Playoff Committee. Last week it was Penn State's ahead of Clemson because of the strength of schedule. Then Ohio State's ahead of LSU. Well, what about the strength of schedule? Well, we really don't think about the strength of schedule. We look more about the eyeball test, right? And I think because of that inconsistency, and I think there's a fear that some of those teams really honestly don't have a chance to win the to play for the college football playoff. I think there's a concern in Big Ten country that Minnesota, if they went out, would not make it there over a one-loss Alabama. I mean, I think there's no way in the world that they would do that. But I do think there's a fear there that an undefeated
Baylor. It's not going to happen with Minnesota, with what they have still, knowing they've got the win against Penn State. What they have to this point, no. But, you know, just like in Ohio State in 2014, you know, they weren't getting into the playoff based on that second week of November. The reason they made the playoff is because what they did in their last 3 games, including the 50-plus shutdown in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, and the thing is this isn't the BCS. And I think that maybe people have been stuck in that, is our team or our conference's team going to get Auburn's, where Auburn in 04, where they just were started out so far behind the 8-ball in the BCS ranking that they never could make up the ground. This is the reason we have the committee. And so if a Baylor that maybe, you know, by the numbers of the analytics doesn't look as good as a one-loss Alabama team, you would put the undefeated Big 12 conference champion in over the one-loss Alabama team that didn't win their division. So I think there's a little fear there, and maybe it's an inferiority complex with some of the other conferences, with the Pac-12, with maybe the Big 10 West, and maybe the Big 12 outside of Oklahoma, that they could get left out and get jobbed on this one because of how highly ranked Alabama is. I also think right now when it comes to the eyeball test, Georgia's not particularly impressive. And because of that, people are questioning what the committee is doing, probably a little more than they should. This is all going to play itself out and work itself out more likely than not.
I mean, Baylor, the reason why the committee is still wait and see on Baylor, they played Stephen F. Austin, Texas San Antonio, and Rice. Those were the 3 non-conference matchups. And oh, by the way, they escaped against West Virginia. They escaped in triple overtime against TCU. They escaped in double overtime against Texas Tech. They only won by 2 against Iowa State. Baylor is the reason why Baylor is not ranked higher. It's nothing to do with the committee. That's on Baylor.
And Minnesota's the same way, right? Minnesota
absolutely.
Played 1 team with the Pulse.
Absolutely.
Down some teams that we thought might have been better at the beginning of the season. But the early, you know, the first third of the season, Minnesota played close games against teams that weren't particularly good. And then from there, you know, beating down a Nebraska team that it seems like everybody can beat down is incredibly impressive to us right now. It's an impressive job that P.J. Fleck has done, but I just think right now the committee's saying you're going to have to show it to me that you can go beat an Ohio State before I'm going to jump you into the top four over teams that I know have superstar, you know, maybe two top 10 NFL draft picks on their team.
You got jumped 9 spots after your win against Penn State. They will jump you and keep jumping you up as long as you keep winning. It's on Minnesota. At Will, always a pleasure. If you're not doing so already, you need to follow Will on Twitter, at Will West, WNML, talk show host over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. We appreciate it, buddy. Have a great rest of the week. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, Johnny. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome one of our new sponsors to the show, Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. His favorite bourbon, her favorite bottle of wine. Magic moments begin at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits there in Brentwood. So whether hosting a party or just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits with an impressive array of wines and spirits to choose from. I mean, how many times have you been in a supermarket wandering up and down the wine aisle, getting more confused and frustrated by the minute? And then you ask for help, and they know less than you do. Well, Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wine. So if you're looking for gift ideas, they can assist you with suggestions as well for all occasions. So rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way. It's just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Good afternoon. One of the latest tracks is going to be a 9-inch crash in the 4000 block of Andrew Jackson Parkway. OHB at I-40 there in Hermitage. We saw that wreck a few minutes ago. It's busy out here on the South Loop, the West Loop 24 here up by the football stadium. A lot of extra traffic on Lower Broadway with the CMA Awards tonight. Hey, Smashville Moving Company is Middle Tennessee's new moving company. Check them out. Get to know them. SmashvilleMovingCompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kaloudis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kaloudis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is SoulStreetCoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there. And he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's SoulStreetCoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's SoulStreetCoffee.com.
Call
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Big thanks to our two visitors today to the show. John Glennon with The Athletic here in Nashville talking Titans and Preds. Also, Will West earlier this hour from Knoxville, Sports Radio WNML, talking Vols, SEC as well. You know, with football season still very much in the thick of things, viewing parties, tailgating parties, here's the thing as a friendly reminder. If you're planning on drinking, then don't get behind the wheel. Drunk you makes bad decisions, so make a plan before you party. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. On the way next, Vanderbilt women's basketball. It's a good one. Fourth-ranked UConn in town to take on the Vanderbilt squad. Charlie Meadows on the call. 5:50 for the pregame. Tip just after 6. All the action right here on National Sports Radio. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, the Bill King Show from 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the Big Joe Show from 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome from 11 to 2, and right before us, the George Plaster Show from 2 to 4. For Jay Henson, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have a nice warm Wednesday night and do us both a favor and make it count.